It is the first time. The NCOP has got that in the final analysis, it's almost like an appeal court. But we are very fortunate that we have good working relations between the two houses. The looking at the program here, it is my intention to try and get back from lunch. I hope staff are listening at 1:55 so that we start at 2, please. Now, there's the consideration of draft minutes. I asked for draft minutes to be distributed. And I just, Ms. Naidu, just in this open welcome, I need to tell you, it's very difficult for anyone to attend invitations that I receive in the morning when I come to Parliament. Very difficult indeed. On top of it, I do get to Parliament at 6:30, but I did have certain challenges with the computer, so it was only at 7:30 when Mr. Sally Smith came in that I could even access something. And to my horror, there's an invitation from the National Regulator of Compulsory Specifications for tomorrow. Now, I need to make this very clear, that I believe that the invitation should probably have been issued earlier, and that someone slipped up there, because they know perfectly well nobody can get leave at the click of fingers unless a family member has passed away or you yourself faint. You just don't get leave in that manner from Parliament. Secondly, for staff to go and attend in one's place is a week's process. They can't just go up. So as this invitation was scanned in on PDF with the minister's signature but sent by the NRCS, I would like the minister to be informed what time I received it. Because I would hate this to look like we simply snubbed a very important meeting. That meeting, as I recall, was looking at the role of regulators in the fourth industrial revolution. And in fact, would have been very important for this committee to attend. So unfortunately, Whip, you know, when we chatted, this came in after that. I mean, really, I hadn't even had a chance to mention it to you. Now, the acting person there, the group chief operating officer, who was able yesterday to respond to one or two little issues, do you recall that? I think if you could also just indicate our concern in this particular regard. So I shall be asking yourself, Mr. Medema, to send an apology from me, and the reason being my receipt of this email after 8:00 this morning, the day before. It is impossible for us to attend, and we would have loved to. Am I right, members? All of us. Fine. Let's move on then. We're going to be looking at minutes. Everyone's got minutes, I'm sure. Right. That is the adoption of the agenda. With one minor change, we're actually going to, if possible, finish here at 1:45 and get back at 1:45, you know, the other way around, so we may be able to enjoy an earlier afternoon. Someone to propose the adoption of the agenda. Thank you, Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Mantashe. We have 5 apologies, and that is the Honourable McClawball, which is a carryover from yesterday, party business, the Honourable Tierko attending the Labour Committee, the Honorable Albert's party business, the Honorable Esterhazen study tour, the Honorable Tlangwini party business. Right. And then we've got an attendance for the DTI. I don't know if this is still correct. Miss Ntombi Matamela, Acting Group Chief Operating Officer. She's here for the burr. We also have with us here our own staff, and that's Miss Sheldon, who's going to assist us here with a laptop overhead. The researcher, Ms. Kwanda Madalani, and of course, Mr. Madima, who is here. Right. In just as part of that, Honourable McPherson, we got your apology yesterday in terms of the visa challenges, and we're all quite well aware that that can take time. And although, you know, we monitored it regularly, it's quite clear it took a lot longer than you anticipated. So, you know, the late became an apology, you know, a straight apology, just so that you're aware of that. Thank you. Right, now can we please get the consideration of the draft minutes? The first set of minutes that we're looking at. Now, why are we looking at June? Because you will recall some of these minutes went back. Do you recall that, members? So we don't, you know, when they go back, we've got to wait until they're properly cleaned up. So please cast your minds back to the 13th of June in Mark's building, where we dealt with the tripartite free trade area, the Commerce, etc. We also dealt with the National Regulator for Compulsory Specification. And that's one of the issues which we raised in the BRRR, which was progress. The distribution of the second draft study to a report, debt, briefing by Mr. Madima. Can we put NCAB, not debt? I don't know if you did the minutes, quite frankly. I really don't. Okay, just put NC, let's just correct this ourselves, NCAB, in brackets debt. The briefing, because it wasn't only on debt, and it was actually the German, you know, the Fourth Industrial Revolution as well. You spoke about the study tour. So it's not only on the NCAB, it was also on the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Briefing by the Department of Trade and Industry on the Eskom inquiry, matters relating to the South African Bureau of Standards. I'm just checking with you, Ms. Madalani. You may know, the Auditor General's report, you will recall SAB said that they had requested a late, you know, an extension. Is that what we call it, an extension? Can you give us anything there?
Chair, at the time when we had the AG, they had not finished with the audit for SABs. I think we need to check with the DTI if that has subsequently been finalized now.
The Group Chief Operating Officer.
Morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. The process has now been finalised and SAPS received a disclaimer.
Now, when you say it has been finalised, sorry, I know I can't see you because of this chair here and I'm a bit short, but we need something in writing, if you know what I mean, because we're in the middle of the BRRR process. So would it be possible for you to try and communicate to the powers that be, of course including yourself, and try and get us this communication? Because usually we would, you would have received the report in inverted commas and then communicate. Is that in order? I'm also looking at you, Ms. Naidu, who's the Parliamentary Liaison Officer. Yes. All right. Present, we had quite a few there. Democratic, Villot and Carter, apologies. Attendance. Page 2. everyone okay? As I think you may just have been out of the room, Honourable Montash, it's the 13th of June. Remember, I still said they had to be sent back. You know, remember, they had to be amended. Well, not when I say amended, cleaned up. We never accepted them. That's why it's so late. Page 2. Serbs. You can see how late these are, members. You know? We then go on to the adoption of the agenda. We then move to 3. We then go to 4. There's one thing here which I know has become like all protocol observed, just a sort of knee-jerk reaction. The letters, somewhere here I saw available to, to the public, so we do get them, of course, don't we? Page 3. Right. Page 3, 5, the study group tour report, the briefing, Eskom inquiry and SABS, and the adjournment. Can we have someone to check the register, please? Just check that register. Yvonne, I'm not sure if you were working with us at the time. I'm inclined to think you were. And under this here, you have an apology from Alberts, huh? So that's there. It's noted. Everything is signed correctly. Me to point something out to you before I address your question, Honourable Buyani. These are the 13th of June, but why I'm querying the register, because it doesn't make sense, you see. I see it is the register of September, and this writing is so small, I can't quite see the date, the 13th. Now, I'm putting this on record. This was one of your first meetings, Yvonne. Minutes and registers are legal documents. You may not do this sort of thing. We can't pass this register. Where is the correct one? Yes. So, members, would we be prepared to adopt these minutes and with a proviso that the minutes will, the register will be arriving? Can I check? I don't see an objection. Right. Can someone propose the adoption of these? Yes, Honourable Buyani.
Thank you. I propose for the adoption of the minutes. With the amendment made, yes. Thank you.
Can I have someone to second the
minutes, please? Thanks, Honourable Kachalia. Right. We then move to Thursday the 14th. Let's check that register quickly. Oh, that's correct. Right. On those minutes there, we 14th of June, V119, the formal consideration of minutes, oversight report on sugar, copyright amendment bill, and the study tour report. Please correct that. You know, we went to Germany and the UK, right? We've got several people present with 5 apologies. 4 apologies. Page 1. Page 2. The constitutional and legal officers came here. We then did the sugar industry, those reports, the adoption of the agenda, formal consideration of the minutes. Right. Formal consideration of the oversight report. Just in terms of the oversight report, we do have with us here a letter sent by the DG, to inform us of the gazetting, which we've been monitoring this for some time, as you know. So I'm just checking to see if it's there or is it here. Yeah. Just looking here. I'm looking for a copy of his letter, that's all, the DG's letter. Okay. Then we have the page 3, as I said. Page 4. The study tour report. You know, the reason I don't want to send these back again and again and again, they've been back twice. Please don't put debt. It is the NCAB and it's the Fourth Industrial Revolution. These are a record of money spent.
Just a clarification, on the 13th of June, we resolved, if you look at the minutes, that we're going to split the debt and the NCAB and the Fourth Industrial, so this report was only focused on the one.
Is that's not what the agenda says. And we have to amend that. We took a decision, you see, and the agenda was then, would have been amended, that it is a study group, but it's not on debt, it's on the NCAB in the UK. And I think it's important we get that right. And thank you for that as well, Miss Sheldon. Can we please move and do that? A new person coming into this committee doesn't know what's happened. We then have just the NCAB. All right? You can put debt in brackets, fair enough, but you must put the actual issue, the National Credit Amendment Bill. Number 4, page 4, you've had. Right. Page 5. Okay? Page 5. We have someone to propose adoption with the clarification of not debt per se, NCAB, debt in brackets, and the decision that is what it is, only one part of the study tour. Honourable Mantosh?
I'm not sure if I'm out of order, but I'm just doing this for interest sake on these minutes of the 14th of June. On page 3, we made some resolutions. I just need maybe a brief update whether the clauses that we set must be gazetted. I'll move for adoption, Chair.
The minutes, you see. Yes, Honourable Khadebe.
No, Chairperson, I do second Honourable Mantashe, but let's look at the venue. There's no V119 on the ground for on the National Assembly. There's no such a room. Otherwise, we're meeting in the outer space.
V119. You know, actually, I feel weary when I see this because I may as well have a little tune made now. Spell out properly first, check names, check dates, check venues, check this. Have you got a pilot's checklist, Mr. Medema? All right. All you need say is respond first, yes you do. I did not do the minutes.
I did not do the minutes.
Right. You do. Mr. Hermans must be more careful. He really must be. I said they're legal documents. this is worth nothing. You know, and we've had all these inquiries all over the show, and it seems to be very important where things are held, you know, so we can't lose sight of the fact that this is here. It's not nowhere else. Let's move on. Please ask him to check. Michelle, don't you sometimes have a final check on some minutes? I know not on all. That's not your job. Will you communicate this to him, please? And then again, we have the signatures, which are all correct. Is that right? Yeah. Now, Honourable Mantashe, you were going to raise something then about the resolutions.
Yes, Chair. I'm interested, just for interest sake, to check whether what we resolved on page 3 has been done. Just a confirmation.
Well, what we've got here, if we go through just your first page of them as such, you will recall that we followed the resolution. If I'm not mistaken, earlier on we had been in Mark's building. Then we came, of course, here, you know, to V119. And as we were going through them, Honourable Mantashe, we had to make sure that they had done what we had asked. Do you remember we got a second draft or third draft of this? The people who would have produced that would have been the advocate Charmaine van der Merwe, who would have been addressing this issue. And this is why I always say minutes are useful to attach to presentations, because you know what you've agreed to there. And there were two presentations, if not three. I only remember two in this area. The one of them that I remember specifically was on royalties and the photography that had been raised and we needed to check on. Now, I don't know what the resolution is. Let me just check. The definition of visual artistic work. We've done that. You see? Hello? Come. Honourable Mantashe?
I dispute that, Chair, but I wanted to be reminded because I can't remember.
No, we all need reminding, but I'm just saying, won't it be useful, Honourable Mantashe, if... I also know you were away at some point in time.
Oh, dear.
At this particular meeting, when this decision was taken, we would look at the next meeting for the PowerPoint or the presentation. And that is why we've asked Yvonne to give us these folders with everything in order. The only thing that is not there are the minutes. And I'm just suggesting to members what I do because I find it useful. I link my minutes in the file. You're given a file, it doesn't have minutes, all right? You then get your minutes and relate it to the file itself. And I think that that is important if we can get that. But at the next meeting, what would be of further help is perhaps the proposal I thought you may be coming up with just at that point is to say, Chair, at the next meeting, can we confirm whether we've received this back, as we did this morning now, about all of these printouts, etc. So this is a suggestion to all of us here. At the next meeting, if they've not been done, we note they are still coming. Until we've received them. I think that would be helpful for all of us. Would it help? Good, thank you. Will you remember that and share that with your colleagues? Yes, Ms. Sheldon?
Just in terms of this resolution, the focus was on page 3, number 6. The resolution was to advertise to the stakeholders. Mm-hmm. So that was done in June, and then the comments were discussed in last term.
Yes. And they were, but as some members are saying, we say last quarter, but you know, some of us may not remember the day it was done. So the only, I think what you're saying is valuable, is simply that the day something, it has been done. We say, yes, no, we haven't received this. Yes, we have. That's all. So it assists us all, especially down the line, all right? Is there anything we have not received back? We've even got the transitional provision, you know, and all of that back. Right, let's move on. You know what we used to have, members, and this is what helped us, but we don't have the money now and the trees are short. And that is, we used to get everything back, thick. Honorable Khadebi will remember this. Huge, thick things. Here. We don't have that amount of paper to use in this day and age, but it was helpful. Right, check the register. Let's look here. Why isn't this signed? Yes, the reason. There's no... Did you get an apology or didn't you? Please note. Please. That one is not done. All right? Okay. Can we move on? Then you had another set of minutes, the 22nd of August. M46. Mark's Building. All right. Consideration of the Copyright Amendment Bill. We had quite a full team. We had two apologies. Page one, page two. I don't suppose anyone will forget the ITAC resolution. Do you remember that one? Right. Then these are something perhaps for the new term, Ms. Naidi, you could convey. One of the problems we have with material like this, and it's across the board, not just with DTI, ITEC, you name it, is that at that time, when they were calling for a closed meeting, at the time that they gave it, they didn't explain, and consequently, we lost a month. We were then still busy applying for a closed meeting and got it, when they came back and said, "Ah, it's not necessary now because it's done this and this." And I think that wastes Parliament's time and holds up the schedule. Please can we liaise with the committee staff? Consideration of the Copyright Amendment Bill on page two. None of these are numbered, these pages. You have that there. And then staggered. Advocate Stream advising that certain clauses could be staggered while the bill is being processed, awaiting assent by the President. Staggered, another way of putting it in, is that we can actually specify that a particular clause will only become effective on a certain date. We can specify that. I think that's a lot better. Maybe he used the word staggered, but... The staggered's also got too many other meanings. All right, let's just say that. Okay. Resolutions with respect to CAB. There's the advertisements on that. Did you see that? Right. In future, what would be helpful, Mr. Medina, is if you could make a copy of the advertisement available when anything is advertised. I don't know what page this is now. Why is it that it's not numbered? 1, 2, 3, 4. Page 4, the last page. Update and progress made by the DTI on sugar. You see, this is the issue here. Mr. Honorable Bulyani, you raised this repeatedly earlier. The importance of transformation with the tariffs. You see, it's been repeated here, and we did follow that through. We have someone at this point to check the register, all of you. Honorable Bulyani?
one chair. I'm not so sure because I signed the register. But in terms of the minutes, I'm not present, I'm not absent, and I'm not so sure what is happening there. And 22 of August. Yeah.
Now look, at this point, Yvonne was here, but the primary responsibility for the register is not an assistant. It is the committee secretary. She's here to do as you request, or as I request. And again, this is a major problem. Can we please have you sign his copy here, please, so that we've got it?
No, Chair, thanks. I think in terms of the...
No, not sign it, sorry. I mean, factor it in. Can you write it in? And this is one set where we are going to put that the Honourable Buyani was present as seen or as reflected on the register. All right? Just that statement. And that'll be in today's minutes.
Chair,
also maybe
consideration of draft minutes. Now, page...
I don't know what page two.
Point three, the committee deliberated. The chairperson submitted the minutes, committee deliberated, then Mr. Williams seconded and so forth. And so forth. Thanks. Doesn't, sir.
What did we deliberate on handing over the
adopt these today. All right? So we've got two issues now. And, you know, Honourable Khadebe, I hope you are noting, as I am noting, how switched on Honourable Buyani is, eh? He's should be there as a starter pistol, you know? All right. Miss Sheldon has asked me to do something else, not to send this now. Are you listening? Because it is only 2 months. It's August the 22nd. And August the 22nd to September, it's not 2 months yet. It's when it goes beyond 2 months that it's a crisis. She said that she will see that these are corrected and they'll come back tomorrow. Can we agree on that? Thank you. And tell her to bring that register tomorrow from the previous day. All right? And before you leave, can I see the register in future? Thank you. All right, members, we've done that on the agenda then. We've done the minutes. And we're just going to... I've got the sugar in front of me, but I'm just getting the agenda here. That is the 10th. We now need, we've done that, we've passed what we needed to, and we are holding over the 22nd. But we don't, you haven't got them here. Where are the rest? On the 13th of September, where is the register? Is this it here? Yeah, you got that register. Is it correct? Can you check that, members? I don't want to waste more time. The 13th, Thursday, September, check the present and check whether you're all signed. You haven't corrected this. You know, it's important to put apology if someone's not here and they've handed in an apology. AP for the Honorable Hadobe. All right, please put that in. All right, page one. You did apologize, Honorable Hadobe, but it's not noted as an apology, you see. Page two. If you look at the register, you see. Page 2. What's this? Submission is available, right. Page 3. And you've got the agenda, but just make sure that it is, I've already pointed out this. Yeah. Right, the fourth, can we have someone to propose the adoption of the 13th of September? Thank you, Honourable William, seconded by the Honourable Buyani. The 14th. And the 14th of September, we only have, is it four apologies? Let me just check. Yes, De Hazen. You see, we haven't got anything there. This is becoming the sloppiest committee. Truly. This is really not acceptable. No, I wouldn't like that to be emphasized.
No, no, it's not. I just want to say it's not a reflection on the chair.
Is, come on, you know, take pride in our work. You always well-dressed, Honourable Medima, Mr. Medima, to the point I even think you're an MP, huh? Just the Esterhazen issue, just put that down. What is it? What is it? What is it? Is it an apology?
All right. For the record,
and I have said this every year in the last 10 years, if you're going to be at another committee, you need to submit an apology. One. Unless you are in a casket, submit your apology. Please. All right. Now, this is not acceptable. And anyone not here within the first hour, we ascertain, unless they have said they're going to be late. But not that late. Okay. Yes.
I'm just wondering, how does PMG record that with regard to caskets and...
Yeah, that's it. I want them to record it exactly like that. So there's no misunderstanding. None. None. Page 1. Page 2. Can we have numbering on all these pages? Page 2. Oh, gosh. Consideration of the German study tour report. You see, there you did it properly, but what was it on? Did we go on a joyride? What was it? What was the German study tour? I mean, I can't be accountable for visiting Germany on a joyride. What was it? The Fourth Industrial Revolution. Really, I'm beginning to think I'm on a joyride here, too. Page 3. You know, there's a presentation by the SABC, and I made it clear that it was not acceptable for the senior policy people not to be here. Do you remember? And it's not reflected here, unless I can't see it. Looks like it was just a nice breeze in and a breeze out. No problems. You can't, this is not a reflection. It is not. We were very angry. You know, what was the issue? The issue raised was what? They were not present. That does not say that. The committee resolved that the senior management would be... We had already requested that. No, this is not a reflection. Bring these minutes back tomorrow. Bring them back. I want that clear. We were not happy with the SABC, unless someone here that I don't know was. We were not. Make it very, very clear. 12. Check the register against page 1. 12th September. We have everyone there, yes, yes, who's apologized? 2 apologies. Were we in the right committee? First floor. That's it. Yes, this is the first floor. 2. Page 2. You know, I'm not going to ask for these minutes to go back with amendment, but when I used to correct the minutes with you in my office, I said, if I want to take a chair, I'll pick it up. The chairperson opened the committee. I'm all forever picking up chairs here. Yes, but even in your minutes, see what you say. You also asked me to pick up chairs. Just say the facts. Open the meeting. Simple English. Right, page 1. Yes, we've got those apologies. Yes, that's good. That's good. We then have the briefing on the National Gambling Amendment Bill. Now, you see here, tell your colleague, Group Chief Operating Officer, on the 12th of September, we got a briefing on gambling. Now, I want all of you members, look, this is how you start to do things right. You're going to be working on gambling now. You've got the minutes when we started. Remember, put these minutes with your gambling, all right? Yeah, don't gamble it away. Right, then you've got this whole thing here, provincial versus national, etc., unlawful earnings. Focused on that. So there were no resolutions, just a focus. Looks like a third page here. Briefing by the national regulator. Annual report. First quarter. Right, a detailed report will be tabled. We did get that detailed report. Remember Ms. Madalani from NRCS? Yes, just so that we know. Can we simply note today that there's only one thing outstanding? Right, is everyone correct here? Good. Can we at least get these minutes passed, the 12th of September? Honourable Hadebe, well, Honourable MacPherson, were you at this meeting on that day. I'm wondering if you could raise your hand. Is there something a bit sensitive? Honourable MacPherson? Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, seconded there. Right. Okay. Let's move on then. We've done all the minutes and passed all but two. Is that correct? Ms. Sheldon, we're bringing these minutes back tomorrow. Please. And I'm saying that to Ms. Sheldon, but it's really your job, isn't it, Mr. Medema, because you're going to be here tomorrow. Thank you. Right. On that particular note, can we get back to the agenda? Right. The agenda now says 11:30, not too bad. Consideration of the second draft of the BRRR report. There was something, Ms. Sheldon, I gave Mr. Hermans my copy of my report that I'd written on. And I asked for a copy of my BRRR report because I had made notes. Can you ask him for that, please? Because it'll be very difficult for me to chair without that. All right. So what we're going to do at this point here is move straight on, though. We can't delay matters. I'm looking at something without my notes on, but I do remember one thing, and that is the introduction will be coming here. And we've been through this report, all of us sitting here, apart from yourself, Honourable MacPherson, you had the visa issue. Now, what I'm hoping we're going to be able to do at this point, moving along slowly, is come to some of these conclusions. Do you remember what I said? Just suggestions and proposals. We also asked the staff to do a number of issues and cover them. So when I say page one, Ms. Sheldon, Ms. Madalani, maybe at that point, you know, if something has come up, because I haven't got it on here, but you made notes, you would then speak to it. Is that right? All right, page one. Other than noting, I'll supply the intro on Monday or Tuesday. The mandate of the committee. You mentioned here, and this is it, the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act 2009. I think as we go on, and you know, this is our last BRRR report, it may be pertinent for us to note that this Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act was the first time that Parliament could give effect to its constitutional powers of amending the budget. Up to then, we couldn't. Remember that? So it was only in 2009, when this was passed, that we already had it, the constitutional power, but it needed to be in a bill, legislation. And I think it's worth noting, because this is our last BRRR report, this for the first time we are able to do this. And we can ask ourselves, 9 years later, or eight, if you look at the BRRR, where do we think we are on this process? For some of us who've been associated with councils or legislatures or parliament, has this helped us, that medium-term budget policy framework, together with the power that parliament has to amend the budget? You know, it's when we should be commenting on it. Is it helping us? Or are we still so clueless? Because when we first did this, we said we don't know enough. Remember? We need a budget office. We won't be able to unpack it. In fact, we were too scared to ask for more money in case things went wrong, because they said, if you ask for more here, remember you must cut some down there. You can't just ask for more money for a line item. You must be able to justify it. I want you to think about that, members, and come back next time so that we can get something in the conclusion. Do you see that? Yes, Ms. Sheldon?
Chair, if you look at the last sentence of that first paragraph and the next paragraph, I think for a number of years you've raised the second paragraph as is, but that might be something you want to change now.
No,
yes.
I think you need to put committee comments in here. That's what I'm saying. I don't want it to be the chairs. I'm sharing this with you. But I'm asking you, you've been here, you've worked with this. Is this normal? Have we been able to exercise this effectively? I think that's what I'm asking. Or have we not? You see? Or do we need more time? You see, what's our comment here? No, I'm saying we will come there, but we are preparing for that now. Can we do that, all of us? Because it was one of the more important pieces of legislation for Parliament. Page 2. Perfect. Yes, well, there we are. Can I ask you, when I say BRR report, what do you know immediately? When you tell your constituency we did the BRR report, what do they say? Oh, it's cold. What do they say? They don't know what it is, do they? Please spell it out. Don't call it the BRR report, all right? The method. Very good. The BRR doesn't see. I'm even calling it activity or transport performance of that. I think what we have done in the past, Ms. Sheldon, is to say why we... In theory, we should be engaging all the entities, in theory. And at the beginning, you know, you were here, we engaged about 10 of them. Isn't that so? Yes. Now, this is the worst year for us in terms of that form of engagement. We all know that. We understand, fair enough. So what are we going to say there? You know, we've got so many entities, so many of this, but we're not going to engage. Why did we pick this one? Why? No, I think what we need to point out here is that in the past, that is the method, all right, we get this. For this report, review and recommendation report. Notwithstanding, we have X. You know, this. And in the past, in previous years, this was tackled, at least 4 or 5. However, in this year, time constraints did not enable us to do that. We need to put something in. Why, and why are we singling this one out? Why? There's a reason. Okay, so can we... I see communication, yeah. Limitations. You know, Ms. Madalani, this could be listed as one of the limitations. You have pointed to time constraints, and you've referred to some of them. And I think this part where you mention all of that, I think we have to say something about SABS, because we've already heard half the story. And I believe, as we've seen repeatedly happen here, as the president and the ANC, as it were, sorts out things in government, that perhaps the penny is dropping. We need to be accountable and to take responsibility. So when we look at this,
let us not leave it for the next term to say, oh, SABS should, you know, X. Let us point out the positive. SABS performed very well to start with. And honestly, I say this without fear of contradiction. It did start off extremely well. It needs to be a lesson to all of us. You started off so well. What went wrong? What went wrong? And now we're at this low point. But have measures been put in place? What are the measures? Do you follow? We cannot allow the South African Bureau of Standards to lose credibility. Do we agree on that issue? Huh? And I'm sort of looking at yourselves, my dear, to factor that in your good English. And then we come to page 3. Sorry?
Can you just check whether you're happy with the wording in terms of the method?
Yes, an ID. Oh, yes. You know, I always think we should be saying things like, I know I'm off record, an ID, all entities should be robustly reviewed. I mean, we can all review things in 5 minutes, or we can do it properly. Robustly reviewed, all right? And engaged with on their performance. I'm asking all of you now, you know the great thing for finance and the Auditor General is outputs and outcomes. Is that not the issue? And we say the ministers, in inverted commas, are responsible for outcomes and the administration is responsible for outputs. You know, that's the kind of glib way of putting it. When you're looking at the performance, are you looking at the performance as a whole? You know, it's just a comment, Ms. Hurling, you know, no need to sort of jump to the keyboard. This was due to the challenges that had been on an ongoing basis over a number of financial years. Now, as soon as you say that, you know what it would tell the man on the street or anyone else in the house? We've been here since when? 2014, 2015, nearly how many years, you see, 2014, 5 years next year, and during this time, we let things ride. You know, I'm looking at as the devil's advocate. What did you do? You want to tell us, and it said, no, you're right about that, you are right, to the challenges that have been on an ongoing basis, but the issue is this, that we have repeatedly, and we asked for this report, asked them to engage effectively with the Auditor General to resolve this. And I don't know where we should put this. I'm asking members, because we have. This is not a new issue. Goes back, I think the only person here when this went back, who was in Durban at the time, you were Honourable MacPherson, you were Honourable Williams. The rest of you weren't even here, I mean, when this was going on. Now, we can't say, go to the house and say, it's been going on for a long time, man, and, you know, we just relaxed because we were busy on something else. No, what did we do? Put what we did. What did we recommend last year? We need to say these things in the conclusion or elsewhere. We didn't let this ride. We took it up with the minister. We took it up with all the guys that were busy acting. And this, please, I want this to be a lot stronger. The message today in 2018 is either we exercise robust oversight or we give up. We're not giving up. We want that done. And then we can come back on what may be seen as a mitigating factor. That they have endeavored, that's what we heard, to resolve this. Now, what is the issue now? And I'm looking at the Group Chief Operating Officer, because this is your speciality. What now? They've been engaging for 10 years. Now what do we do? Are we going to have a further engagement? By now, if you were getting married, you'd be out.
I was just thinking that maybe instead of putting it as due to the auditing challenges, we could perhaps say that it's due to the fact that they have, for the past 4 years, received qualified audit opinions.
Qualified audit opinion, that is also more serious. You know, you're saying qualified. Now, when you get a qualified, what do? You do something about it. Now, I'm trying to get beyond that. I'm trying to get your help, and I know it's, as I said yesterday, a little unfair, but you do represent the organization as the Group Chief Operating Officer. What I'm not taking this report to the House. I want to know what measures are now there. What are they? What are they doing about this? I've got to know, and I want to know by Friday. I mean that, my dear. So please get hold of the minister, get hold of all of them acting tomorrow out at this workshop.
All right, Honourable
Kajabi. Be there. All right, then the outline. I'm not going over the outline. This is just, is this what it says? It's factual. All right? I'm not doing that. Yes, Comrade Buyani.
No, sorry, Chair. On the method.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to check, man. There's a statement said on the financial year 12, however, due to legislative commitment and time constraints, the committee was not able to consider other entities at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
What is supposed to be clarifying on this report?
Just go back again. Due to that, you know, when you weigh that up, what is the legislative commitment? It's sitting in that house doing nothing. It is deliberating on a bill. You know, I'm giving you one, a ridiculous thing, and one very serious, and it is the most issue there, the legislative commitment. However, due to the, I would rather have something along the line, very much on the tight.
It's very tight. Due to the very tight program in which many bills had to be considered. You know, in that very tight program. And I think that if I am a layperson, I then have a better understanding. It was a tight program. They had all these bills to look at. Yeah, we understand. We could not do everything. We don't have to say we had the gambling and all of it, but we had other bills. All right. That may be better. Let's move now. Overview on the key relevant policy focus areas. Again, I did comment, is he bringing up the copy I wrote on? You'll see there the strategic objectives, etc., etc. Sometimes members of the House are saying, why do we repeat what is already there in the DTI report? Is this pertinent or should it be in an appendix? If we have to reduce the size of a report, how do you reduce it? It's 30 pages, all right? And if we were to give them the almost a summary, but already it says overview of the key relevant areas, is that the most we can do in sharpening it up? And the other thing which I have a problem with, We talk about 13 entities in the introduction or somewhere. Now we talk of 14. How many are there? How many are there? Now I'm asking, you know. Yes.
There are 13 entities, Jay.
13?
Yes.
All right. Which one went?
So, Chief, the BBBE Commission is still within the DTI's budget. So it's not a standalone entity, and that's why it's not counted. But it would have been the 14th.
But we need to point that out in this report.
Because we've been telling them for so long they're going to be on their own. What I think is very good is that colleagues will be engaging each other so that you concur on that number. But what I do, and I mean that just as an aside, but on a more serious note, BBBE came from here. You were still WHIP at that time, right at the beginning. Now, it was supposed to be up and running on its own within 3 years. I think it is 5 or 6 years, and it's still within the budget. There is a need for us to ask, and I'm asking the Group Chief Operating Officer here, is it the intention, because it may be the intention, to retain the commission within the department. On the other hand, if it's a commission, the mere word commission tells you it can't be. So it can't be, can it, Group Chief Operating Officer?
Chair, there have been ongoing discussions between the DTI and National Treasury with regards to the listing of the BBBE Commission. We received a communication, I think, about a day or two ago, where Treasury is actually suggesting that BBBE Commission be an entity within the administration of the DTI. That communication is still being considered internally within the DTI.
Yeah, you see where I'm coming from, Group Chief Operating Officer, and I'd just like to get people's names here. And I haven't got known you that long, but it's Miss Matumela. Mela, is that right? Yes. I hear what you're saying. And if this was any other year, I could say yes, yes, yes. We're coming, this is the end of the term, BBBE. It takes a new, it has a different role. We then have to look back. What was it like? What was the intention? What challenges have there been that have not enabled us to run as planned? Now, we all know there are financial constraints. We know that. So if this is the case and it is simply financial constraints, and also I know there was a moratorium put on, what do you call it, hiring of workers and that kind of thing, then that's what we need to be able to say. The intention remains that it be, you know, it's set up separately as a commission. Isn't that so?
The intention from the GTI side was to set it up as a standalone entity, but then there are processes that have to be undertaken with National Treasury. So it's been the processes with Treasury that have been delaying the process. As I'm saying, 2 days ago, they sent a communication where they are saying that their view is that they shouldn't be a standalone entity, but rather an entity under the administration of the DTI.
Oh. Yeah, I think those are issues that we should be, you know, briefed on more effectively, because we work very well together with DTI. Now that we know that, it puts, well, it's different. We look at things differently. And we may need to just consider it, because as I say, the reality remains it's a commission. And my understanding of a commission is that it stands outside, in inverted commas. That's my own. So it would be useful if we could, Mr. Medina, get from Ms. Matamela just a little paragraph that puts that into perspective. Do we agree on that? Just a little paragraph, so that we can see where is this coming from. They're still within us, and they're not out. Because the previous reports have referred to them as a separate entity. You see the challenge you face. Yeah, and I'm also looking at Honourable Mantash. Yeah.
I don't dispute what the CEO is saying, but I'm asking myself a question of how different is this commission from the other commissions that exist that are independent of the DTI. How different are they? And what could be what are the reasons that are raised by Treasury to that effect? If she can explain to us.
Say, Ms. Matamera, if you can do so now, that's going to be very welcome. If, on the other hand, because you're acting group chief, you're probably just settling in, if you would like to discuss this with the minister, if you'd like to discuss it, that is also understandable, but we need, can you share that with us now or what?
Chair, as I'm saying, the communication came to our attention 2 days ago.
Oh,
it's still being considered within the DTI.
Okay.
And I am so sorry. I'll send it to Saroj today. My iPad is just, my battery has died, but I would have been able to read the reasons. But there are reasons that Treasury has advanced. But I will send the communication to Saroj.
Fine. We want to know that your response is informed and not shooting from the hip, you see? So we'll get that. Are we agreed on the triple B, double E, etc.? Then on the next page, we'll now move speedily. 5, the list of entities. We see them there. Financial agencies. See, I'm getting 14 here. Now, just a minute.
All right. I suppose this is
looked at somewhat differently, is it? Yeah. Ms. Sheldon, do you want to help?
So Chairperson, pending the DTI's correspondence, and a decision, we can remove it, have a separate paragraph on it underneath the table, and then revert it back to 13 without it being listed there. And just state that there is this entity, and this is the current situation with it.
Yes, I was thinking it may be constructive if we put it there, but we put it with a star, you know, and then did the explanation. It's like having a cobot, you know, they're not robots and they're not humans, they're cobots. So, somewhere in between, all right, but let's just leave it like that. But that will help, so that, you see, up to now, then we can understand why it was 13 and then 14 and so on and so forth. Summary of the key, and then you've got them there. And let's make sure that throughout the report, it's kept that way, and we don't change. Page 6. Well, you know, it's going on and on, amending this, that, and the next thing. I'm looking at 3.2.6. And you see this issue here, it's an important point. Amending the broad-based black economic empowerment legislation to ensure that the BBBEE Commission is able effectively to monitor and enforce the provisions of the Act. And I think this, before that you would have explained its status, would you? You know, and its structure, and then that would make some sense, all right? Strengthening public-private partnerships, as well as developing constructive social compacts. In doing this, it's always good to have examples. And this is our report. Yes?
Chairperson, these are just listing previous recommendations. What we still need to do is add any comments from the department and from the Minister of Finance. So we'll still do that, and then we can. Because the substance is sitting in a different report at the moment of why we are recommending those things.
I think
you must have changed to crimson or something.
Have you all got that colour?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not red, that's for sure.
Honourable
Buyani? Chairperson, thanks, man. I suggest we take this recommendation because it's a review. Because that one is still a communique from finance to the department. It's not officially communicated to the committee. And as a committee, we only know that the BBBE it's a committee of IADI and the 14th one. But it's an entity, I mean to say. But then if you now, we will link with what we just said, the hearsay, there's no official document communicating to the committee. I think it's a serious problem to us. Thank you.
I think that's very solid. A proposal here, everyone? Yes. Shall we move on then? Now, it is a bit difficult to see this colour, but it is things we referred to. I'm looking now at what I wrote here. That was page 7. Yes, and I said, no, we don't know what's potting here, remember? Well, there is an explanation now. Administration achieved 5. What were these 5? Percentage turnover was this, that. It's listed. Do you remember we requested that? Can everyone see that? All listed, huh? Right. Then I can't see what that last column is, the title. What's the head?
Not achieved.
63 outreach engagements undertaken against a target of 65. This was the result of events that were postponed due to unforeseen circumstances. Right, in terms of that, do we know what the budget was? So we know two of them were not. In terms of that 2% or whatever it is, I can't just see. And it's not 2%, it's actual engagements, too. What are you looking at? What was the budget for that 63 outreach? You know, where does it relate to here? If we can just get the budget linked and tied up. Yes, Ms. Muddle?
We mainly look at the budget per program or a sub-program to get a specific item. I think we'd need to look deeper into the department's budget. Maybe Ms. Matomela would be able to answer that, a specific on that line item, how much was the budget and was it spent relative to the fact that the target is not achieved?
Yeah. Because the point I ask here, if it was not achieved and budgeted for, where is that money? Now, technically, Ms. Matamela, that budget could have been shifted in a line program. You know, you can do this. And if it's not, where is it? Did the funds go to other events, per se? So where is this money sitting? And it could be that you decided, well, look, we didn't achieve it, but we need the money here, and no problem. But tell us what you did with it. All right. You may not have the answer this minute. Do you want to respond?
I can respond, Chair. Marketing within the department is one of those units that is usually round out of funds because of the outreach engagements that we have to undertake. So the budget that was not used for those two outreaches was not a big budget, and usually it just gets reprioritized within.
That's what it is. So that's what we need. You've just said the line was reprioritized within. You know, just give us that explanation, right? Status report, and just move this up because it's easier to see, Then we go on to, is it special economic zones? you can probably figure out exactly where that is on your report. It should be at the bottom of page 7. And it then indicates this target was exceeded by 46 interventions, more interventions than initially planned, as per. Here you've got the designation issue, 2 implementation reports on the industrial parks planned for the financial year, reports on that, that, and that. Okay, so if you're looking at that, and you're looking at what was achieved and what wasn't achieved, you know what I'm thinking, really appealing to you, Ms. Sheldon or Ms. Marlani, next time you decide to use crimson on grey, remember I can't see it. Sorry. Okay, and then you're looking at that. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, thanks for changing the font, right. But we asked for this to be fleshed out. Do you remember what it looked like there? And we said, no, we don't know what's happening. Now we do, don't we? Can we leave that? Can we move on? Thank you, Ms. Sheldon. You can recover. 9, fully, yes, that's great. On the investment South Africa, the department, what, achieved a something target of over 80 billion. Let me just see this here. There, 84 billion odd investment against a target of 45. Well, that's fantastic news. You see now, with it being in red, we nearly overlooked this good news. But it's very good news, isn't it? Doesn't everyone think it's very good news? It's the last investment South Africa. Our target was 45 billion. Now, we've been highly critical in this budget report that we're doing, review. But here is something we can say that's an achievement. At least I think so, if they've got that. And then they took exceeding the target by X and Y and Z. But I must say, and you will be, I'm sure, excited to hear this, Miss Honourable MacPherson and Honourable Gacharia. I think that the, what do they call them, economic agencies of one kind or another in the different provinces. And here in the Western Cape you have West Grow, which is the equivalent, you know, of that. And we can never underestimate the amount of investment they bring in. And I say this about West Grow, I say it about Gauteng, One, KZN and a few others. Some of them are doing very well. And they contribute to this. And I think that people deserve a pat on the back who are, you know, officials working there and the political efforts. Right, you've then got the next page of all the financial performance. And according to my notes there, we just really asked for the variances. I think that was the Honourable Tierko asking for that. And you've got it in red then on page... let me see, is it page 11 or something? What page is that one? Oh no, there it is. It's on page what? Unfortunately, you can't see it on this. 12, it's on page 12, red. Reported that the variance of approximately 5% was as a result, and this is important, we asked for that clarification, of ITS. I'm sure it's, yes, Ms. Madalani?
Chair, Ms. Sheldon and I are discussing that paragraph. Yes. I think the term variance might be misleading.
Yes.
Can we rather use under expenditure? Because variance could, it means something else.
No, you're quite right. Let's get more accurate. Then we're going to rather call it that. Under expenditure. Yeah, we're going to be very specific as to people are. And related group, take in seat, commission, set up related person. So you're going to do that throughout. You're going to, yes, I see that, thank you. Page 13. On page 11 there, look, we did look at the transfers. You know what I'd really like you to do, and I know for most of us sitting in those benches, we get a little distracted. There's nothing like a pie chart to bring you back. You know, when you're seeing all this, the numbers, and then, you know, right, a pie chart with the same numbers, same percentage. And I know that the house doesn't like anything in color, but the pie chart. Sometimes, I know 7 years ago, we actually got a pie chart in color. Do you know that? You could liaise with Mr. Hermans as to how he achieved that. But I don't know if it was thrown in afterwards or whatever, but I think a pie chart which talks about the budget would be very good. Don't you think so? Okay, let's move. I wish I had a few jokes. Page 12. Honorable Montag, just to liven up, although we've got air conditioning today. Yes. Right. And just, you may be seeing the whip popping out. He's going into another meeting. But we are all, for the record, Honorable Khadebe. Honorable Khadebe, just for the record, I indicated we'll all be leaving a bit earlier in order to get back at 2:45. All right, okay. And then we had the audit outcomes. And then you've got a bit more red. Here we spoke about, and you may wish to speak to Ms. Madalani and Ms. Sheldon there, the financial reporting. The AG noted that the DTI had obtained a clean audit report. Now, clean is a fantastic audit report. However, and then we note here, it had a material impairment amounting to 32 odd million, due to potential loss. Someone raised this yesterday. Do you remember who it was? The irrecoverable receivables. Was it you, Honorable Mantash, or Honorable Buyani, or Teko? I know it was just in that group there that someone raised a hand and said, no, but what action or what measures, what consequences, there we are. Now, what we really want to know here, let's just explain this. We're reading it, it's well done. But now, what do we actually mean when we say irrecoverable receivables? Just explain. Give an example. Anyone? Ms. Madalani?
Thank you, Chair. I'll try to explain it, and I'll give to Ms. Madalani to explain it as well. I think what was missing from that sentence yesterday was the word potential, because it sounded as though the irrecoverable monies that are owed to the department. However, it's potential irrecoverable. Yes, the explanation does say that there are monies that are owed by to the DTI, which the DTI is in endeavoring into recovering those. So it's potential, it's not actual losses. But according to accounting practices, it needs to be reported as it is in the financial report. I think if that is not enough, Ms. Matomela would explain.
I think what could still happen, though, in the way you've just explained it, and then Ms. Matamela would carry on, is that we need to point out that the DTI has implemented measures to try and recover this, because that's what it sounded like. Is it there? You see, this thing is so tiny with all its redness. Yes, Ms. Matamela?
Thank you, Chair. An example would be a case where you find that a person has been paid an incentive that was perhaps not due to them, and then we start the process of recovering the amount that was paid. And these cases are all being tracked by legal services. They follow up on them on a monthly, sometimes on a daily basis, because they also get monitored by the risk management committee. They report on that committee every quarter. And where the committee feels that they are perhaps not moving as fast as they should, the committee is harsh on them to say, follow up on these cases because we need to recover these amounts. So these are not amounts that are sitting there and not being monitored.
All right. So they're not just being not only monitored, and I'm going to, all their hands are shooting up, you see.
So let me allow them to speak. I haven't stopped speaking. Honourable Mantash, followed by the Honourable Williams.
Can Ms. Matomela explain to us, is this what he's speaking on, entities or businesses that have been given incentives, or is it individual people? Because I can't understand. I don't understand what he means in your explanation.
All right. Now, one moment, Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm a bit concerned about this as well because of the fact that although there might be a mechanism put in place to follow up on this potential money that's disappeared, for instance, what's to stop it happening in the future? How can people get given incentives? That they're not supposed to be getting given. It sounds very corrupt, if you ask my opinion. Somebody who shouldn't qualify for incentives gets given incentives, and now the department has to spend more money to try and get that money back again. So I think we need more information if that is the case. But what about, is it all incentives, or is that just an example? It seems very... a very high amount of money, even though there is clean audits, etc. It seems that we can't just ignore it because of a clean audit. We need to get more information. Is this an annual amount? Do they lose 37 million rand a year? I mean, what is that money? We don't really have any explanation for that at all. Thank you.
Right. Does that help? Ms. Matamela, are you going to try and address that?
Yes, Chairperson, and maybe I used the wrong example, but it's different cases. It's not only cases that are relating to incentives. And I think as the explanation says, these are cases that are outstanding for over a year. So these are not cases that are there for a year. It's cases, some of them go on, they are cases that have been there for over 5 years. It's different cases, different amounts. And if the committee so requires, we can provide that list. It's different cases. It's not cases of corruption. It would be overpayment in some instances that we are claiming back from whoever got it. But it's not cases of corruption, because the cases of corruption would have been handled differently.
Right. Now, just one moment, Honourable Mantash, Honourable MacPherson.
I just want to know, does that include the now very publicised bad deal between the NEF and Sorms Delta in Franschhoek, where the NEF invested a lot of money into that project? And if one reads some of the court documents resulting from I think they have filed for bankruptcy, that there were some questionable processes on behalf of the NEF in terms of making funds available. Is that included in this 32 million, or is that in the next financial year?
Thank you, Chair. That would definitely not be one of the cases that would be appearing on the DTI books. If it's an NEF case, it would be appearing on the NEF side. Mm-hmm. So these are cases that specifically relate to the DTI.
That would help you, Honourable.
Honourable Mantash, followed by the Honourable Williams, and then Ms. Madalani.
Thank you, Chair. We would humbly request that we be given detail, not a short summary of this nature. Because it is our duty to oversee that government monies are used for the things that they are meant for, and if not, something else to be done. We need a detail of this matter that they think it's potentially irrecoverable. We want to know, and the reason why you think they are irrecoverable.
Thank you, Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, and also some information we'd also like to get would be how much money has been spent on monies that are outstanding for 5 years, for instance. I mean, at what point are you going to keep saying to us, oh, it's 10 years old, but it's still recoverable? Seems that it's a bit dodgy that they're saying it's irrecoverable. I mean, it potentially irrecoverable, but it's been 5 years. I mean, at what point are you going to give up and say we couldn't get the money back? So we'd like to know, and what is that spread? I mean, what is it? Is 10% of it 5 years old and 90% of it 1 year old? What are we talking about here? We'd like more information generally about all of this money. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you. I'm going to be asking Ms. Madalani to come in here, as she was trying to come in and clarify a few points.
I hope this will clarify. Under the financial support that's given by the DTI to as incentive, under the incentives basket, there are grants, there are tax allowances, as well as there are loans that are advanced to companies. This may relate to, some of it may relate to the loans rather than in terms of grants. So there might be a mixture of loans that are advanced that are not gotten back, as well as other forms of grants that have been given. So like the honourable members have said, it would help to get a breakdown. Yeah.
This is good. You know, when anyone watches you engaging in this manner, it actually underlines the fact that MPs are trying to exercise their oversight. And you know, that's healthy for people out there in informal settlements and overcrowded flats, but also in banks and investment houses, to ascertain, are they doing this, or is this a sweetheart inspection? You know, it isn't. It is a very robust review. So I want to thank you, all of you. But I also want to point out that when they give a clean audit, what that means, yes, it is clean. We know where everything went, all right? But there are certain material issues which are not that substantive that you do X or Y. But it cautions whoever it is, let's fix this up. You fixed all of that. Good. Now let's fix this up. So I think that is our approach here. Yes, there's a pat on the back for X, but let's not rest. Okay, then we move on to the next one here, the non-financial performance 4.2.1. Is that right? We've done that here, sorry. It's just lost its traction. So where are we? Yeah, here we are. We've just done a lot of that in any event. Percentage. Yes, I'm with you.
Just a request that they not write to us in red. We can't see on the red.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
No, you know what it is. Red is very, very difficult. And I like a robust red, like Yvonne is wearing. And if this was that dark, we wouldn't have a problem. But I said this isn't red. It's a sort of cross between crimson and pink. No, it's very difficult. No, what I think could be of value is if you put it in black and then just highlighted it. Put it in black and highlight. You know, you put that yellow paint over it, whatever. But I think we've moved on from the performance targets. Now that's what I'm looking at now, I see it. On my page 14, table 7, was that right? Budget and expenditure from the first quarter. I want to ask you something. We're in a unique position in a way. We're looking at only a first quarter. Do we accept that? Now, the question you need to ask yourself,
because it could be a limitation. Do you hear what I'm saying? The question is, at this point of looking at the first quarter, how valuable is that? What does it add to our understanding here? Or what? You know, because some people may say, oh, you've got no idea. I mean, they've just started. Now, what's this? This is 3 months or something. Do you follow? So you look at it yourself. Is there anything in the first quarter that could ring an alarm bell or alert us to something we may need to pursue? Do you get what I'm saying? So just look at that there. And it talks about, for the first quarter of 2018-2019. Effectively, doesn't that mean April, May, June? Now, if it's April, May, June, and I look at you and I, if I was from education, for example, my expenditure really may not be that high, or if I haven't had enough money the previous year, we may have to expend a bit more on furniture. But in a higher education or basic education area, I may be spending the majority of my funds in the third quarter. You know, so the first quarter is not going to be an alert, all right? Now, on the other hand, this is trade and industry. So if you follow what I was saying about education, what is there in trade and industry that we would expect to begin to really eat into the money? What would it be? Yes, come on the.
Sorry, Chair, it's the incentive, Chair.
The incentive. Thank you
very, very much. Incentives. Do we get that?
Yep.
Incentives. Now, what is it? How much have they used? Let's have a quick look. Good idea, that one, eh? We go down here, and we see, is that incentive, international trade, special economic zones, incentive development and administration. Right. Now, the budget there, in the first quarter, the budget available is X, all right? We see that, no problem. Well, how much have we used of it in terms? We're going to look here. The percentage we've used is that right, 6 million? Can't possibly be. Doesn't it take a few more noughts?
6 billion.
Because the other three, does it say so at the top?
Yes,
yes it does. 6 billion, yes, Ms. Sheldon?
They've spent 8% of their budget.
Thank you, and where did you pick that up from?
The last column is percentage of the budget available based on the annual budget.
Oh, yes, and so we would all learn to subtract.
So, yes.
Now, in the last column, it says 92% is available. 92 from 100 is 8%. Good thing we can all
subtract. Okay, Honourable William.
Chairperson, I don't think that we should say that in the first quarter so much money should have been spent in incentives, because incentives are applied for. Now, maybe they reject 80% of the applications in the first quarter, so we don't know what that trend is. So I don't think we can say that in the first quarter 25% of the incentive money must have been spent. So even 8% is fine, because we don't know how many applications they received. They might have received 100 applications in the first quarter and only given 4 of them or 10 of them, or you know what I'm saying. So it's not like we expected to spend 25% every quarter. You know, that's what I'm saying. So I don't know if that's a good measurement to say what are we supposed to have spent on incentives in the first quarter, because there's nothing to measure it against. Thank you.
Just one challenge which I will raise, but let me first hear Honourable MacPherson.
Let me say I agree and disagree with what Honourable William said. I don't think it's for us to dictate how people or when they spend their budget, but it's also incumbent on us to ensure that they are not dumping their budgets when they don't spend them. And at the same time, we should also raise the question, well, why are they not spending their budgets? Because it could also indicate a huge backlog, as we know has existed previously, with respect to processing incentive applications. So I think that there are questions for us to ask and also oversight to play at the same time.
I am not also excited about this percentage, Ms. Sheldon, because we at this time in our lifetime, in our lives, Chair, business is slow, people need assistance, and you ask yourself, how is the department helping them? Because we are hungry for jobs, so if these companies are dying, how are they going to create more jobs? For me, it is a no-no, and I would discredit them for it.
You've got a point. My concern that I wanted to raise earlier, which seems to kind of be related to what you're saying, Honourable Mantosh, also what Honourable Williams and the Honourable McPherson. We have been told at various points in time, Ms. Matamela, that we've just run out of money. You know, it's such in such demand that we really, I mean, you know, we've got all the applications, we just don't have enough money. Now, if that is the case, and it's just a thought there for the department, or for the division, I should say, knowing that you've got this backlog, then you come to the end of the year, you would have analyzed who really needs it first, etc. Surely you would then immediately sweat out maybe 20% perhaps, or 30, because you're getting rid of part of the backlog, but without utilizing the entire budget, which prevented newcomers, if you like, coming in. So I really think, I believe incentives are coming to see us. Is that right? I beg your pardon?
From the 16th.
From the 16th. And I know we may have passed the BRRR, but these are some of the questions we need to engage on. How do you deal with that? You've got so much in the budget. You knew you couldn't deal with the balance, and how is this addressed? Okay. Ms. Madalani?
Chair, I think the discussion about the 8% might be misleading, because, for example, what the department has spent in terms of what they budgeted for the quarter, let us not compare for the year. What they've budgeted for the quarter, they've spent 55% of that, not 8%. Then we can maybe take it from there that they have not spent the remaining 45%, because the 8% is in relation to the total budget for the year, and each quarter is apportioned its amount. But for that quarter, 55% was spent under incentives.
Well, you see, you were leading up along those lines of 8. And remember, you said 8. Was it Michelle? Mm-hmm.
But still, 45% is a lot of money to be unused under the conditions.
Yes.
Under the financial conditions, 45 is too much not to be used.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, I think that's a better way to measure this, that they tell us how much they should have spent in that time, and then they tell us how much they did spend. So now it's a whole different thing, and Honourable Mantosh is completely right. They've only spent half the money that they were supposed to spend. So, 45% wasn't spent for that quarter. So it's a much... So then that rings, you know, there's a bell, alarms going off there. If they're going to do this until the end of the year, are they saying that they've got, you know, they're only going to spend 50% of the incentive money? Thank you.
You see, I looked at it differently, but it also indicates I'm not entirely satisfied with what I'm hearing. The way I read this, Ms. Madalani, is the budget percentage available in each budget. Okay. You've got X available. If you added that up, it would come to 500%. That is not what we're saying. As I understood this here, in terms of that budget of 100%, here's your budget. It may be 1 billion, but that's the 100% of your budget. Right? It's 1 billion, but that's your 100%. And of that 1 billion, you've spent 8%. Now, you try and tell me exactly what you mean, and then I'm coming to Ms. Matamela.
Chair, can we go to the table 7?
If
we look, the table starts on page 14. On page 14, we've got budget 2018-2019, that column. That column sets out the budget for each program for the whole year.
Yes.
Then the following column that says budget under year to date, it sets out a budget for the quarter. For incentives, it's 859. That's right. Then the next one sets out what has been spent for the quarter, right? Which is 470. And what has not been spent in terms of a percentage, which is 45%. But I'm not disputing Ms. Mantashe's question on the 45%. I'm just trying to explain the different ones.
I think if we put this down on the plank, as it were, the reality is we know that the most, drawn on budget allocation is incentives. And we've also heard that they're very constructive and promoting the economy, industrialization, et cetera, et cetera. That's where our concern is. And the lack of funds in the last quarter, Ms. Sheldon. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So, Chair, I just want to alert, we haven't added yet reasons for the over and under expenditure, which may assist the committee. So we'll still need to just populate that, and then it may take us forward in the discussion.
Can we leave it there, Honourable
Royani?
Do you
want to
add?
No, I wanted to exactly suggest what Ms. Sheldon is saying. And also, if we can be able to have the list of the companies or the individual got incentives, so that you can be able to balance the two.
Yeah. All right, we're going to jump now to page 18. I think it's your page 18. It's red, the next red area. It's quite interesting, we talk about red area. I believe there's red October around. I would have liked. You know, look, the incentive briefing report is available, I understand. So why, and we've been given it, haven't we? So those of us who put it in our trunk somewhere to hold up the bed, can we just get it out? The incentive report was... I know, but it's good that you're there to back up my cell phone. Because you know why? I did say I wanted to leave earlier. But at the same time, I can't just stop a discussion that's very important, and I would appeal to all of you to appreciate that. We can come back a bit later, all right? 2:00. We were going to come back at 1:45. Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we haven't started this conversation on page 18. We could stop now.
The way I look at it is what's happening next. We are going to be having a group of people who are not connected with the budget directly. I've also got to look at that, if I'm not mistaken, but let me see. Further engagement with SASA. Oh, you know, the engagement there. And I just thought, and I'm really appealing, I want us just to do a quick look at the red. That's why I said let's jump. Do you follow? Let's just jump to the red. And look at localization. There was first of all a Goa. Did you have your hand up about that, Honourable MacPherson?
No, localization.
Then let's look at 19. or whatever page, localization. Do you remember we raised that issue, Honourable Williams?
Chair, I think that the inclusion of this paragraph is very important, and it should stay there. But I also think that in our recommendations, we have to have more mm-hmm. emphasis on the localization and the implementation of the localization program and the response to that. For instance, you know, we've been talking about localization and designation since I came to this fifth parliament, and we still don't know how successful it's been, or, you know, and we need some thorough investigation into this. Thanks.
That was why we were going to run an oversight inquiry, which we did not do, Honourable McPherson.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I want to speak to, because it's just over a year ago that this committee agreed to the terms of reference for an inquiry into localisation. The committee also publicly said that that would look to be completed by January 2018. Now, I have a big problem that as a number of times I have raised this in formal correspondence with the chair, and I've just never got a response as to when this inquiry was going to resume. Now, and the big problem is that a number of these people who we were supposed to call specifically from Transnet have now either been fired or left Transnet. And so we have never been able to get to the bottom of this. Despite the promises that were made, the amounts of money that were spent, and I really do believe that it is, and you can say it's not this committee's fault, but it is an indictment on this committee for not pursuing that inquiry. Despite terms of reference being agreed to, despite public pronouncements being made as to this committee's desire to get to the bottom of it, we held one lot of hearings, but we just simply never proceeded to conclude it. And I would like to understand why my correspondence was never responded to, requesting when this was going to be picked up, and what are the exact reasons that this committee has chosen not to continue with that inquiry. Now, you have said, it was actually a point that I had raised in the last term to say, well, you know, this committee must prioritize its work. And I wanted to know from the executive what bills, or from the DTR, what bills they were going to bring to this committee. And I was told, no, it is not for the executive or the DTR to tell us what they want to prioritize. This committee does the prioritization. And yet we have just seen bills flood into this committee, and at the expense of a very important inquiry. So I really need some answers, Chair, and I think that also this, it has to be reflected in this report that we have chosen to shelve the inquiry to prioritise other business.
Thank you very much, Honourable McPherson. I need to just do a slight correction, but it's more just on months and that sort of thing. When we started this, our deadline for finishing it, when we revised the deadline in terms of what we were doing, was going to be 2019. But for the rest, you are right. We came in with this, with the challenges of designation and localization, transfer pricing, admin pricing, all of that issue. Right, we did. And in fact, that was as a result of several colloquiums in which we all had a healthy participation. Unfortunately for us, we had also insisted that the Department of Trade and Industry bring us three other bills. And those bills, which this committee said we've got to get, we took that in the previous term, was gambling, to the point where I was asked to write letters to the minister on the matter. And you are aware we've written five letters in this regard. So the priority then was gambling, and that was when we walked into this house. The second priority became a very important one, the continuation of admin prices, energy, you know, that kind of thing, which we did continue with for a while. And linked to that, the designations and localizations which the Auditor General agreed he would assist us on. The challenge became that the copyright bill, and perhaps I can be corrected here from the staff as well, if I'm not mistaken, it was the copyright bill that had to go recrafting. And I say, when I say recrafting, very serious recrafting issues. You're all aware of that. And that bill then didn't take a year or 10 months. It's taken nearly 3 years. Now that was beyond our control. And when we got that in, we took a decision that we, in fact, we got them both at the same time, more or less, that, no, well, look, we'll have to do copyright for performers. And that delayed us yet again. And indeed it did. We were very lucky to even get out overseas to for the Fourth Industrial Revolution, because the Chair of Chairs pointed out that we were behind in our targeted program. You know that, I know that. But it has always been a priority, to the point where we did a lot of work calling in people like, I think, Nimrod, Zalk, etc. And that is why I said yesterday it is important, in fact imperative, that we close off a preliminary report here now and chart a way forward. Because if anything, Honourable Macpherson, despite the amount of work we've done, we have failed to achieve that target of completion on that point. We have. And I accept responsibility for that, but also acknowledging that we did have to deal with bills which took up 2.5, 3 years now, the copyright, through no fault of ours as a committee. But what we can say, Honourable Macpherson, you and the Honourable Williams, along with other members of this committee, have ensured that the person now in charge of CCRD is able to get the work going more effectively. I'm sure you will all agree that under Dr. Masocha we have been able to make great progress. And that's all I want to say. I just want to complete 2 pages, but do carry on.
Chair, this committee is entitled to prioritize its work. And it's what I have consistently asked for, is that we decide what is the most important issues. That the executive has outstanding bills was never our problem. That they couldn't draft a bill correctly was never our problem. In fact, it was this committee that actually rejected the bill and insisted that we effectively actually did one official committee bill and one unofficial committee bill, because the copyright bill effectively became copyright effectively became a committee bill. But I really do think, Chair, that I would implore this committee and implore yourself as the chair to look at what is available to us between now and the time that this parliament rises next year, and that we have to absolutely prioritize the finalization of this investigation, even if it means putting the gambling bill into the sixth parliament. But it is unfair that this bill, quite rightly, as you say, we have been speaking about it and asking about it since 2014, that it lands up in our committee in the fourth term of the fourth year of this parliament. That is not acceptable. So I think that the committee is well within its right to say, actually, in the interests of the public and the interest of getting to the bottom of what is going on with localization, specifically with the 50 billion rand that was spent by this government and the taxpayers of this country on trains that we now believe we've got very little value out of, that we should get to the bottom of it by the time that this parliament rises, even if it means that the executive's bill of the National Gambling Bill is postponed to the 6th Parliament. That would be my request.
I have heard it, and what I am going to say, and I wanted to just conclude at this moment, even if it means we come back to it tomorrow or another day, is that we will deal with the gambling, because this is a bill we asked for last term, and it is not exactly what we should have done. Why do I say that? Because it was our intention to deal with a comprehensive bill. But the situation is such, as I sit here and we all sit here, that we're looking at particular statutory matters. We cannot forever keep an administrator in that position. It's 4 years or more. We have to put something else. It has to be turned into whatever, and the bill proposes, as we requested, a regulator. The second thing that this committee took several decisions on in the previous term and in this term, we cannot allow the provinces to hold Parliament to ransom. You don't meet so you collapse decisions. Decisions cannot be taken. We need to look at that. And we took that decision unanimously. We've got to look and see how this can work. So we will do that. But what I can say, Honourable Macpherson, we will give this our full attention because it is important. Honourable Williams, if I may just close on this now with you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think that the local procurement and the question of designations should not be limited to what happened at Transnet. When we do our oversight on this, we should look at it broader than that. We should look at it in all places. You know, are school desks being manufactured locally and procured locally? It shouldn't just be one incident that has caused us, you know, pain, but it should be the ongoing localization that should happen. The problem is we're trying to establish black industrialists, we're trying to establish manufacturing in South Africa, and one of the biggest problems we've got is demand, and we need to create that demand within government, because that's the only place that we can create it, because if we attempt to instruct the private sector to buy locally, they can just ignore us. But we can instruct government to do that, and that's what we should be focusing on, not on one specific issue. Thank you.
Look, I'm going to please ask both the Honourable Macpherson, the Honourable Williams, and I think to let us work with this, take it forward at the next meeting to see how we address it. There isn't anyone sitting here that disagrees with you, Honourable Macpherson. As I said, I personally take responsibility for not being able to complete this process. But I want you to just realise that on page 21, all of the issues we asked to be factored in have been factored in. Page 21 and 22. When we got beyond there, some of you will recall, we could not really fully read the balance. Do you remember? It was in, grey or whatever. And we will take that into account. But I'd like us, at our next time when we look at this budget, which you can tell me when is that? It is the 11th, tomorrow, October. We may be able to squeeze something in then. Yeah. We'll perhaps finish it just before the copyright or something, give ourselves an hour and a half, and come back to it. But what I would like to ask all of us, you weren't here, Honourable Macpherson, and I don't know if your colleague mentioned to you that I've asked everyone as we go through this report to put together their ideas for the conclusion, as you've always done, and recommendations. So all of us, we're coming back now at 2:00. It's just 1:07. Can we please come back to this room? Is there any lunch, Mr. Medima, if you would advise us?
Same place, members. Thank you.
What is
same all assembly restaurant?
The one that.
Okay. We're coming. Okay. The meeting adjourns at 2:00.